Welcome back to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I am Colin, joined again by Matt Barnes and Polly Questel.
Sup?
How is it going? we just beat Luton Town 3-0 yesterday, and we've got now a doubleheader against Brighton coming up as we play them Saturday morning in the Premier League, and then again the next, I guess, Tuesday or Wednesday in the League Cup, both matches at Brighton.
And so many games.
Yeah.
So many games already, dude. It's crazy. Golly.
Yeah, we're talking on the last episode about the League Cup, and kind of off the air suggesting that, you know, this isn't at the forefront of our goals this season, but, you know, it is a trophy. But at the same time, advancing in this competition is going to be really costly when it comes to, you know, matches played.
Is it? I mean, if that was your attitude, then you could have zero problems with what happened last night.
That's true.
I mean, they rotated the squad, so you have a couple of guys who should be first team players, like Juan Bissaka, Fred or Matic, who played, but, you know, they've played now one game, and the first team squad has played one game. So, you know, it was ugly. It was boring. It was as creative as you would expect a team with the players that we put out there to play.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's cup football. Like, in cup football, I don't care about the performance. It's just win and move. That's results-based, and it's just win and move on, and that's what they did.
Yeah. And, we also got Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood on the pitch for the last 10-15 minutes, and each of them getting off the mark for the season. Sorry.
Don't add minutes. If you're worried about it, what cost? Don't add minutes.
Right. The last 11 minutes, and each of them off the mark now with a goal. So, at the very least, United fans getting to see the ball in the back of the net for the first time this season, really.
Aww. We saw it on, we saw Donny van de Beek scored on Saturday, but we got to see us, you know, in the lead.
Yeah.
But you would expect- I like his fight already, dude. He was like, first thing he said in the interview was, "This isn't good enough." And I was like, "Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about." Like, we need more of those players to, like, even though, like, because to be honest, like, I really just don't think, like, Maguire still just doesn't look up to it, or he looks tired. I don't know if he's distracted. Tired, whatever, but like, we need a bunch of people to become leaders. We've got Bruno, you know, he does pretty well at, like, keeping people on their shit, but I don't know, man.
What, like, about Maguire, though, makes you say he doesn't look up to it?
Maguire?
Yeah.
Sometimes he just looks like, and it's not all the time, it's just like really, like, silly moments. It just, he'll just, like, get careless. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people, like that, but from our captain, like, I don't want that.
I don't want that either. I don't think he gets, I mean,
I think he needs a rest, dude. I think he just really needs, like, a couple game rest.
Well, like a vacation.
He just had a month off. Like, that,
after playing like a million games, though.
As a center back, you could play 50 games a year as a center back, but, like, let's not pretend.
Well, then why is he being careless? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm only saying he needs a break because he's looking kind of careless.
I mean, I wouldn't say that he was the careless looking one on Saturday.
Right. But also, like, let's not pretend that just because they didn't have any games doesn't mean that, like, you know, he's not, you know, that he needs. He had a month off. He should be ready to go in the season. United definitely needs somebody else that can play in that left center back role so that he can get a break every so often. I think he played against Luton Town because I think Ollie wanted to see him invite. You know, you don't want to, if you're thinking of dropping Lindelof, you're not going to go, "Oh, let's play." But, and Twanzebe is hurt still. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely not playing Taidan Mengi with Eric Bailly. All the reports were that he had no intention of using Taidan Mengi last night. It's, you know, one of those come with the team, sit, gain that experience, and that's how you start. And that's Ollie has been, throughout his whole tenure, been very cautious and slow with the youngsters and really methodical.
I think he's been really good with the youngsters.
He has. So
he's been really good with them.
You know, he's never, you know, he always plays them a few times off the bench before he lets them start a game. Mm-hmm. So he was never going to go with Tatum Mengi, but let's say for argument's sake, Axel Tonzebi was fit. If you're looking at that game on Saturday and you're saying Victor Lindelof, it's not it, you know. Obviously, he's not going to drop McGuire. The captain, he's the rock. He's the only one that can left side. So if you say Victor Lindelof isn't it, I'm going to go with Bailly, then you don't play Bailly and Tonzebi on Tuesday and then go to Bailly and McGuire on Saturday.
I agree with that.
McGuire so that they can develop that rapport and that chemistry between the two of them.
But I liked how McGuire played on the left. That might be something that also helps us. I don't know what side he played. Did he play on the right side for Leicester?
He's played on the left. It's usually him on the left and Lindelof on the right. I think that's pretty much how it's been.
The only time he's moved to the right was like early the first half of last season a few times when Marcos Rojo had to like shift center back.
And sometimes, I mean, during the match, he'll move up the pitch and, you know, move around accordingly then. But for the most part, he does stay to that left center back position. And
I think it also is a thing where Brandon Williams is playing and he might need help on that side. Like, Aaron Wan-Bissaka doesn't need as much help. I think that's another thing.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. Wan-Bissaka is an island. They literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Island. And he plays it that way, too. Like, he's, again, sorry for the cross-sport comparison, but you remember the cornerback, Nnamdi Asamoah? Contract with the Raiders. And, like, one of the things that Asamoah was so good at was using the sideline as an extra defender, and that's what made him so good was if you can't go left, you can only go right, and I am here. So people criticize Wan-Bissaka because he's always tackling you, but Wan-Bissaka does that because he lets you get ahead of him because he cuts off the middle and behind you. So that way, if you wanted to go backwards or you wanted to play it square, you can't. And the only place for you to go is straight. And he does that because you can't go left because the touchline's right there. And you could go straight, but Wan-Bissaka is going to beat you eventually. Like, he knows he's faster than you. Yep. He's going to make the tackle. And he does that.
He's kind of like sneaky fast, too. Like, he really just, like, finds a way.
He's very long, and his stride kind of makes him deceptively quick, especially his acceleration.
By design, because he is very good at it, but also because United leave him on an island and don't help him, so that they can shift the rest of their defense to help out the middle and that left side, whether it's Shaw or Williams.
Right, exactly,
I mean, Williams I thought was fine on Tuesday. Yeah. He looked... he looked like he wanted to get forward every time he got the ball. It's just not being left-footed just hurts him so much.
It really does, because he has to stop and then take into account everything and pass it back. And then he
pulls it inside. Now his body's in the wrong position, and it's something he's got to get better. I mean, I think this is why we're trying to sign a left-back. We're not trying to sign a left-back so much because we don't trust Luke Shaw. Like, Alex Telles isn't as good defensively as Shaw is. And I think even when we bring in somebody, I think Shaw would remain first choice because defense is such a priority for Solskjaer. We're trying to sign a left back so that when we don't play with Luke Shaw, we still have a left footer out there because as two-footed as Williams is, and he can hold his own at left back, especially defensively, he makes some mistakes, but he's 19. That happens. His future
also his left footedness isn't just as natural yet.
Like, he's just young. His future is as the backup right back.
Yeah,
and that's why we're looking for a left back.
Oh, yeah. Do you think also, I mean, this is partly me being a bad host. We'll get back to Brighton in a second, but signing Alex Telles as what kind of free up Ollie to play or, you know, tinker with that sort of back three left Luke Shaw playing as sort of a left center back a little bit more. Do you think that we would see that? If Alex Telles came in playing as kind of a left wing back with
Probably at some point. I don't think we necessarily like need to. I don't think that Ollie needs to really like overcomplicate things, but I mean it would make that formation a lot better than like I wouldn't be as worried Luke Shaw being a center back rather than not having like width at all. Because Brent Williams was just struggling in that spot.
Yeah, he would do it the same reason he did it last year, which is more, it's a different look, so that's good. Maybe it matches up better with some teams, and you do it then. You know, sort of the way that Chelsea started using Marcos Alonso last year was that they could only play him in a back three and push him up as a wing back because they didn't trust him defensively. So you get that option, but I really think it would only be used to rest a player or because you have injuries and you need some, because they don't have two strikers to play up top. They don't have, you know, Rashford and Martial and Greenwood are not good in the split striker formation. Mm-hmm. Their production really drops. They don't get involved. They don't, you know, Martial is really blossoming as this false nine in the buildup. And then once you get him into the box, he becomes that poacher. As a split striker, it doesn't work. Rashford and Martial are both useless when they're out on the right side rather than the left. So by going to a back three, you're just taking one of, or more than one of your best players and either taking them off the field or putting them in positions that aren't their best positions. So you're not giving them the best chance to succeed.
And I don't think Ighalo coming in like to help with like striker duties, like we couldn't like rely on him for that. Like if we wanted to rest like Greenwood, Rashford, like somewhere in the middle of the season, like I think Ighalo is like okay, but I mean, I think he's okay. Yeah, like last night, he didn't play as well. I think he started off pretty strong.
The thing though is still
he's
like
best in that split striker formation. So yeah, like if Rashford is hurt and you know you wanted to rest Greenwood because he's played four games in a row, and you don't really have other options, then yeah, you play Dan James and Martial up front and you go to that back three. But if not, like it just doesn't make sense given the players mm-hmm. gap, which is also why you shouldn't really go to the diamond midfield, because that would take your players and put them outside of their best positions as well.
Mm-hmm. And Scott McTominay on the right wing.
Well, no, you do it with Van de Beek and
yeah.
And you know, he knows. He knows what he's doing.
All right. So going into this Brighton match, Brighton are coming off of two wins, a 3-0 win against Newcastle in the Premier League and a 2-0 win against Preston in the Carabao Cup. A
very good performance against Chelsea.
Yeah. Despite losing 3-1, they actually played pretty good against a Chelsea team that a lot of eyes were looking at that Monday night. The first week. This is also a Brighton team that's pretty well managed under Graham Potter, but also a team that we beat 3-1 twice last season. So the expectation is obviously there. And I want to put this to you guys first. Do you think that this is a match where Nemanja Matic needs to come back into the side with a Pogba Bruno midfield?
I mean, if we didn't do it now, I don't know when. I mean, we could figure out when we would, but I mean, I think so. Like, if we're able to, I don't know how. Is Pogba recovered and everything? I haven't seen anything about him.
Yeah.
I mean, is he showing symptoms? Is he able to play? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
is he fit? Is the question.
Right, and nobody really looked 100% sharp last weekend against Crystal Palace, but I think of the midfielders, you want to keep giving the chance to prove that they are match fit and, you know, ready to go. Paul Pogba is certainly one of them.
I don't think it's inexcusable that nobody looked match fit. I mean, Rashford, is he coming back from an injury? Is he still hurt? Probably. I mean, at this point,
it's a back, so it's like it's weird. I'm sure, like at this point, he's like relatively like okay to play, but he's got to like take it easy, and if he gets a knock he could be out for a month, you know. It's
weird. That's for every game for the next 3 years with Rashford, like we're always going to be saying he's probably still injured, and he probably is, and that's really a shame, because he could have been, it might put a cap on his talent, or on how far he can go.
Yeah,
if he gets to that next, he always has to be cognizant of it. Martial, like, what? Actually, I thought Martial was actually fairly decent against Crystal Palace. He was very strong in his link-up play, but he never had anybody to link up with.
There was also a very serious, you know, lack of service into the box. Over 60% of our chances, I think, came from outside the box.
They had... Nobody could get the ball to Dan James. Pogba has had coronavirus, all right? That's fair. McTominay's fitness level was great, but, you know, his talent level was atrocious. And the Manchester Evening News wrote an article on Friday about... They called him a wild card. They're like, Solskjaer has a wild card to play against Crystal Palace. And it was just all about how McTominay was match fit. And most of the
That's funny.
It's like, Jesus. Like, if that's all you could talk about, then obviously the guy lacks some talent. Bruno played for Portugal, didn't he? The internationals. What's your excuse for why you looked off the page? He did just have another baby, so like maybe he's not sleeping much. All right, I'll give you that. The fitness levels, I'll give you. What was really inexcusable was how many of these players looked like they had never played with each other before.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
But to answer your original question, Colin, one of Matic or Fred is certainly coming back into the team. The reason that they hid behind why they weren't playing on Saturday was match fitness. They both only returned to training Monday, so they had only trained like 4 days prior to that match. So that's hopefully the reason why McTominay was in the team, because if McTominay got chosen ahead of the two of them, oh boy, was that a disaster. That he provided zero screen for the back. So you got to think. I don't understand how you could be not match fit, not how you could be ready to go for 90 minutes against Luton, but like you couldn't play 60 minutes against Crystal Palace on Saturday. That I feel like we would have been better off with 60 minutes from Matic or Fred and 30 minutes from the other on Saturday. Mm-hmm. One of them comes back into the team. Matic would 100% make us better, as has been proven 100 times over. Fred makes us better than a McTominay partnership as well. And he could do this job. And I lean towards Fred simply because we're playing Brighton again on Tuesday and we're going to need to rotate the squad. And I think when you take Pogba out, you're probably better off with Matic being the other midfielder because it gives you more options with what you can do when you're rotating the squad. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, This is why they pay managers big bucks, because you have to manage for Saturday's game, but you also have to manage for your other. You have to keep half an eye on your other matches and plan ahead. And I think if you there are certain players that have been played with Fred and it's a disaster when they play in midfield, and when you play them with Matic, it's much better. Maybe you go Van de Beek.
That was going to be my next point. Was, you know, is this also maybe an opportunity for Van de Beek to make his Premier League, you know, starting debut?
It is. It's just where, like, you're not going to bench Bruno Fernandes, even though Bruno was particularly. I mean, Pogba was awful on Saturday. Bruno was really bad too. They facilitated their entire attack through him, and he created nothing. When Bruno touched the ball, it basically didn't end in a shot. All their best shots came off sequences where Bruno wasn't involved, and he was very involved.
Dude, dude, that shot he almost got on the top left corner, dude. That shit was nutty, dude.
Yeah, but
and he wasn't even in long. That was crazy.
How many goals do you get for not hitting the net?
Oh, you don't get any. I'm just saying the attempt was crazy.
But playing Van de Beek in that position, then I mean, you would require Pogba or whoever plays in that pivot to, you know, be more of a creative role, but you do get another player into the box.
The weird thing about Saturday was they switched the system. And this is really where if you want to tell me that there were so many changes to the team, Juan Bissaka wasn't playing, Greenwood wasn't playing, Matic and Fred weren't playing because of match fitness, that's fine. Why did you then switch the system without having a preseason. They moved away from this 4-2-3-1 that they played all year last year into a 4-3-3, where it was Matic sitting behind Pogba and Fernandes, and Pogba was much further up the pitch, and Fernandes dropped deeper, so it was often McTominay and Fernandes sitting there, and you ran into the same. They couldn't get the ball forward. They couldn't get the ball to Pogba, which is exactly what happened at the end of 2018-19. And all the blame was put on Pogba for not influencing the match. And it's like, he can't influence the match if he doesn't get the ball. And when he doesn't get the ball, what ends up happening is when he does get it, he tries to do way too much. So he was bad. Fernandes was bad. If you need that midfielder to play in that role, like Pogba excelled at it last year. So he'll get the ball to Van de Beek. I don't see him dropping Fernandes. And a lot of people have suggested, oh, you play Fernandes as the 8 and Van de Beek up front and drop Pogba. And maybe Pogba does need a little bit more time to fully recover from COVID. But I think he played 66 minutes on Saturday. He was, you know, the only one of those starters that wasn't even in the team against Luton. If you then leave him out against Brighton, that's where all the attention is going to go, and it's going to cause this huge negative media circus, and that you don't want. And I think one of the turning points of last season was Pogba missing that penalty against Wolves in the second game of the year, because remember, that whole week, all we heard about was, why did Pogba take the penalty? Rashford scored his week one. And there was just this whole cloud of negativity around the team. And of course, when Rashford stepped up to take a penalty against Crystal Palace, you knew he was going to miss. Mm-hmm. But if Pogba makes that penalty, United win that game. And then they probably go on. Like, there's the atmosphere and the attitude around the team, so much more positive. They probably go on and win that Crystal Palace game. It's probably a whole different game. But you're probably looking at 7 to 9 to 10 points heading into that international break, as opposed to 4. Huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the context of this season too, it seems like this Brighton fixture has that sort of weight to it mentally for this team.
For sure.
Extra layer of negativity. You could play Van de Beek from the start against Brighton on next Tuesday. I wouldn't invite trouble.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, do you go back to, you know, the starting 11 that won you all those games post-restart with, you know, the same Pogba Bruno system?
If everybody's fit?
Mason Greenwood back in the front three.
If everybody's fit and not like 90%, like 100% fit. Because if they're 100% fit and then, you know, they play a run of games and then they're just tired, that's fine. But I think part of the issue is like the fatigue injuries we've had over the years. And so, I mean... Like, I think we still need to start strong, but I mean, we have Donny now, so I mean, that will definitely help in the midfield, but mm-hmm. Rotations are going to be interesting, but I think we should go back to it, definitely for like Tottenham. I mean, Brighton, I could understand if we didn't, but like Tottenham, we need that full power starting 11.
Yeah. Go ahead, Polly.
I definitely go with 10 of them. Okay. And to me, Matic and Fred are the same. Like, they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Starting 11 goes 12 deep.
You're going to start Dean?
Goes 12 deep. No. Dean will start in the cup, as is, you know, what the plan is.
Yeah. De Gea being benched would definitely invite attention to this game.
Oh,
that is not going to be wanted.
And then imagine if Henderson makes an error and you're screwed. Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to starting Greenwood. I would also not be opposed to sticking Dan James in there, because this is a match. Brighton like to play with the ball. They like to come at you. There is space to be exploited. That's why we had no trouble with them last year when we had all of our good players. We also had no trouble with them when we had only Rashford and Martial, like Andreas Pereira. We beat them 3-1 the first time, with goals from Andreas Pereira, Scott McTominay, and Marcus Rashford.
Well, it was like a Lewis Dunk goal, wasn't it?
it was
Andreas Pereira goal.
It was, yeah. I mean, Pereira's shot took a took a deflection. McTominay's was originally credited as an own goal, but it was rightfully given back to McTominay, though it was, yeah, you know, he hit it off, like, on the line when it was in. It's just a matter of keep the squad, you know, like, to help keep the squad fresh, you don't need to, you know, if you get into that habit of playing your best 11 all the time, then they all need to be rested at the same time.
Yeah, right. I agree. So
if you can make one or two changes here or there, like, Dan James, this might be the game to get his confidence back because there will be space to exploit. And something I've been working on in the last few days has seen me going back and watching a lot of highlights and stuff in the first half of last year, even though there weren't a lot of highlights. But first half of last year, my God, Dan James was good.
Yeah, he really was.
We lost it, and everybody's, oh, Dan James is terrible.
And we, I mean, in those games, we invited pressure, but partially because we had to because of our midfield. But, you know, him assisting is the best Dan James that United fans are remembering right now.
I mean, six assists is nothing to scoff at. He did that in like half a year.
Yeah.
And he had, against Brighton, he ran at a player. He did a nice little trick, which you don't really see from Dan James, and it was nice to see it. Made the defender at the edge of the box literally fall down on his ass, and then he took another few steps in, put in the most perfect square ball right across the line, right on the feet of Marcus Rashford, and Marcus Rashford somehow missed the net with it. And it's like, that's seven assists right there. I mean, there is no reason why Dan James should not have. Dan James did everything you want him to do. He was very good in the first. That player hasn't gone away. Like, he just looks devoid of confidence right now. And everybody, sure, putting him out there with Pereira and Mata.
It doesn't help him at all.
It doesn't help him at all.
For his demeanor and the fans' perception of him. It's not fair to Dan James at all.
And putting him out there against Tottenham, like, with the good players, but against a Mourinho Tottenham that wants to sit back and a Crystal Palace that just want to sit back, that's not going to help him either. So, like, this might be the game to get him there. And also, I think in order to help out your team and make the depth better, is you can't just play your starting 11 and then go to the League Cup and go, okay, next eight guys or next nine guys, like, plus Maguire are going back out there. You got to play. We see how much better Mata looks when he plays with Fernandez or Van de Beek, players with brains who are, you know, on the same wavelength as Mata. Like, Lingard is a different player when he's just out there versus when you're like, well, you're one of the players that have to carry the team right now. So if you're able, if you hold off and you start James and you could keep Greenwood on the bench, you know, break in case of emergency, and then you could start Greenwood out there and give, you know, Van de Beek, Mata, Greenwood. That's a whole different level of coming at Brighton in two different ways and makes your League Cup squad much better without increasing the minutes being played by everybody.
Yeah.
Yo, while you were talking about Dan James, I'll just say this. Like, I turned on one of the videos. Dude, this kid had some goals I did not expect, or I did not remember. Like, I don't know. And he had some good crosses, too. I agree, though. I really hope he can get his confidence back, because if we can get him to be, like, a decent squad option for us, then, like, it helps us out so much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, same thing with, like, McTominay. Like, if McTominay can get some confidence back and come back, you know, like, that'd be... I mean, I've said McTominay, but it goes with, like, a bunch of people, you know? Like, we just gotta get those guys' confidence back in, like, the specific way, like, Polly was talking about, like, put those two or three utility players in with, like, our starting 11, or quote-unquote starting 11 with the exception of those players, but, like, I think that that's really important for them to get that confidence back, and, like, just with how many games we're playing. We're just playing a million games this season, dude, like, already, like, so fast, so... Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what Ollie does. I hope he does that, because that's a good plan. But
it's about hiding your weakness. Like, United didn't lose against Crystal Palace because Dan James was on the pitch.
No.
Like, they lost because they put McTominay out there, who couldn't move the ball forward. He couldn't get it to the dangerous players, and he provided no screen for the defense, letting Crystal Palace just run freely at our center backs all game, when our center backs, that's what they struggle with. They struggle right at them. So that's why you need a player like Matic who prevents teams from doing that. You know, United were very good at preventing counterattacks last season, and Saturday it was open season.
And Fred looked like he was by himself back there, because he made some good stoppages of the play, and then like some good passes forward, but like, I don't know. He looked like he was by himself sometimes.
Yeah, so you just, it's about, yeah, like you throw in Dan James instead of Rashford 1 week, and, you know, and maybe put Lingard on the other side, and it's like, okay, well, Martial, Pogba, and Bruno, you guys are good enough to, you know, to compensate for the fact that Rashford and Greenwood aren't in there today, and you guys should be able to get the job done. So that's how you have to do it. It's hide your weakness. And, I mean, another issue that United had was eventually they'd finally string a few good passes together and get a man wide open in space, and that man was always Timothy Fosu-Mensah, and you're like, you're the last guy on the field that I want to tackle.
Yeah, he did play that one really good cross to Greenwood, who headed it wide and over, as Solskjaer was keen to point out later. But,
also,
you know,
cross in that led to the goal.
Yes.
So as much as I and it was something that I was going to mention when I wrote about him, because I did pull a bunch of GIFs of you know, United finally breaking out and finding some space, and it's like, oh, that's Fosu-Mensah, but like it just never flowed. But it's like, yeah, it did come to him a ton, and you wish that it was anyone else who could be more dangerous, but like he did put in that nice cross, and he did put in the cross that led to the goal. But you want more than two opportunities. You know, this is like what I used to say about Andreas Pereira, is like, he put in that really nice cross, and it's like, what did he do the rest of the 90 minutes? Like, you need that more than that.
And I think the combination of James and Fosu-Mensah obviously stuck out, and that's what everyone talked about on Twitter when they were talking about how weak this United side kind of looked. But they did have, you know, a couple decent moments of build up, those two crosses, and the one where Fosu-Mensah kind of played it back for Dan James, but instead of, you know, playing it to Rashford or Martial, he decided to take a shot right at a Crystal Palace defender. So I decision making is something that is not Dan James's strong suit, especially when he's in the area around the goal.
I tweeted it too, like Rashford had the ball at the edge of the box, and I pulled the screenshot. There's two Palace defenders right in front of him. There's three Palace defenders right behind those two Palace defenders. And then behind them is like Martial and another defender. And then there's the goalkeeper. And I'm like, Martial, like Rashford took the shot here. Like he probably couldn't even see the goal. But yeah, like this isn't the game for Dan James. And it's like, people are mad because Rashford disappeared. Like, I got news for you. Rashford disappears in these games too. He struggled in these games last year, which is why we dropped points in them, but nobody wanted to talk about it because it was, oh, Rashford's on great form, because during the midweek in the Europa League, he'd score, or he hit that free kick against Chelsea. And then, you know, we go to Bournemouth and he struggles, but he had scored against Liverpool the week before that. And then he hits that free kick against Chelsea, or he scores two goals against Tottenham, then scores against City, and then Everton are sitting back and he struggles. So, you know, he was always on the form of his life and he was carrying the team, but this is Rashford. He disappears in these types of games too.
He had a couple of moments where it reminded me of times when Cristiano Ronaldo was frustrated and would just take a pot shot. Like, it might've been the one that you took a screenshot of where he just kind of let loose from the top of the box and it hit, you know, probably 5 or 6 yards wide and just bounced off the back ad board. It was like, what do you see here?
Right.
I don't know if that's just him kind of, you know, succumbing to pressure right now, because there is this narrative about him post restart that he's not been that good, which I would probably argue is not necessarily the case, but he's not.
Against that. His numbers, his production numbers were better post restart than pre restart. Yeah. He completely changed his role and his style of play. And I thought Southampton at home was like one of his best games of the season. He just didn't finish. He was unstoppable though. He, you know, the only person that could, it's like Chelsea. The only person that could stop Chelsea is Frank Lampard. the only person that could stop Rashford is Rashford. He's a terrible finisher, and he always has been.
Yeah. Although, you know, what, 22 goals is much better than 13 goals. So
yes.
Something it to does, hopefully build
it
up.
Does shed some light, though, into like why Solskjaer really wanted Jack Grealish. Because Rashford played, he doesn't play as a winger, but like United don't want a left winger. He plays as a second forward, really, who comes from the left, whereas Grealish would be more of like another attacking midfielder from the left. And in these games, that's probably more of what you need rather than just a second forward who's trying to get in behind. And that probably shed some light as to why Grealish was so high in Solskjaer's want list.
Do you guys think that Rashford, post-restart, has also been a little bit less of kind of a primary ball handler for Manchester United? I mean, obviously, yeah. Bruno is, you know, the guy that they try to run things through now. But Rashford, especially at the beginning of the last season, was somebody who would come back and collect the ball a lot. And we can still see him do that, but he's not, you know, drifting central as much as he used to. And he's not dropping back into midfield, it seems, as much. He's much more of a positional player, it seems now.
Yeah, I think so. I think like with the addition of Bruno, like when like okay, so Pogba would be hurt, and then Rash is kind of like the unofficial leader of the forwards. I would kind of look at it like that. I don't know about you guys, but I would. I guess just because like. He's been in the club for his whole life, you know, like, and I think like maybe part of it, and I'm not making excuses for him because there's some shots where, because he's my favorite player. Like, I love the guy. I really want him to do well. But sometimes, I think like you're right. Just like Ronaldo, like he takes shots and he does things he doesn't necessarily need to do. And I think that's like maybe old habits dying hard of trying to be like, I want to be Mr. United. I'm wearing number 10 on the back of my shirt. And it comes with that responsibility, but he needs to realize that in certain aspects and times of the game, we don't need him to do that. Which, like you said, you were picking up the ball, you know, like, you don't necessarily need him to do that. Like,
yeah, it's, I mean, no, I don't.
The thing is, like, he had to.
Or anything. He's, you know, taking terrible shots all the time and constantly giving the ball away. You know, he's somebody you can trust as a dribbler.
He takes a lot of bad shots, but he had to at the beginning of last season, like, because, you know, who else was there? It was Pereira, Lingard. Like, James isn't your dribbler and he's not going to drift around. But remember, like, the team was built around Pogba, and then they didn't really have a number 10. So Rashford would probably be that guy to link up between Pogba and Martial and maybe make that triangle. And then Pogba goes down. So it was redesigned now to be around Rashford. It was Martial's going to play this false nine. He's going to drop in, and Rashford's going to run in behind into that space that he created. And Rashford was the guy who was supposed to score the goals, which is what he was doing, and why when he got hurt, it was like, oh God, this is bad, because Rashford is, you know, he's the leading scorer. He's everything. And then he gets hurt. Bruno comes in, and Martial really takes these steps now to become this bona fide center forward and guy that you can rely on to score goals. And then when Rashford comes back now, you're at the restart where you have this Martial who has this chemistry with Bruno. You have Bruno who provides that link between midfield and the attack. And you have Pogba now who can do back to doing Pogba things. So it's not built around Rashford anymore. And that's why you saw him become an assister, is because they were putting him in a more creative role, more provider, and not were. They were also playing against teams that were sitting back, so you're not going to have that space where Martial's going to drop and you're going to run into space. They still managed to find that in games and at times, and he scored a great goal against Bournemouth that was flagged for offside by like an armpit. But it's really like. The difference in his play more is because I think at the beginning of last season, the side was built around him, and now it's no longer built around him. Now he is just a valuable piece in the side that makes the side better.
Mm-hmm. So do we think that that's going to be like better or worse considering like an individual Rashford narrative, I guess?
I think better because
like his, like Paulie said, like his numbers did get better, like with Bruno and everything. I really think it's just like, also like when Pogba was out, that didn't help what Rash did, and it seems like he doesn't really have to. I don't know if Rashford like puts more responsibility on himself because of everything that's going on, because he kind of does that in his outside the field life too, or outside the pitch life too. I think that he'll like just keep improving. I mean, like the thing is like we were talking about Daniel James earlier. When we have all of these players, like teams have to worry about so much, like when we're actually playing well, like they have to worry about so much. So I think that Rashford's just gonna take his like left-sided role and just like do his thing. Cause I mean, like, dude, like end of the season, like we were like, granted there were still shots that like Rashford would like miss, but like, we were still looking pretty fluid.
Yeah.
So I think that he's gotten over like the hump. Now, granted, if he has like another kind of bland period, who knows? It might be demeanor. It might be pain. I don't know. I don't know what he's got going on in his life, you know? So it looks like he's going to be better, though. I'm really hoping he is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is, they're basically going to turn him into the player that Mourinho wanted him to be, which is a threat to score and also a provider, which is fine. You don't want him to be your sole goal-scoring guy, because that didn't work for us. You know, we were floundering. We'd win one and then drop points. You know, we never won three in a row. Mm-hmm. He becomes much more dangerous if he's scoring an assist. Look, what do you do last year? 22 goals, 7 assists. It's 29 goal contributions. Like, yeah, fans may want him to get to 25 or 30. I don't think that'll happen, but if he dropped to 15 and 15, that's really good for us. So, yeah. And I think that's the direction that the goals might tally up, might trail off a bit. The assists should rise.
Yeah. I'm going to check two boxes on the TBB bingo here, but first of all, this, God. You know, the individual numbers don't always correlate to team success. So, you know, Rooney's two best seasons scoring 36 goals, United won one trophy in both of those seasons, and it was the League Cup. You know, seasons that they won the Premier League, he would score 16 or 19 goals. So this sort of idea of Manchester United most dangerous firing on all cylinders, I mean, it might not, we won't maybe identify one single player as our, you know, superstar 40 goal season guy, but there's so many working pieces in this team, you know, when they're at their best, that you can hit people from every direction on the attack. And that's why, you know, get ready for the second bingo mention. This idea of Jadon Sancho coming into this team is just, you know, astounding. It's exactly what everyone wants, because it makes us so much more dangerous when we are firing on all cylinders.
I believe it was Fabrizio Romano that said, like, they Dorman has like a list of replacements, even though he says he's not leaving. So
they were recently linked with Sarr, but like Dorman, the thing about Dorman is they replaced from within. So like they started replacing him last January. They promoted Gio Reyna to the first team. That was last January. This is, you know, they did the same thing with Pulisic. He was replacing somebody who was outgoing. Someone actually tried to tell me like that Reyna was a replacement for Pulisic, and I'm like, well, why did they bring him in January then? Like that doesn't make sense then.
Why did they buy two left wingers?
Yeah. And they still have Julian Brandt. They still have Thorgan Hazard, who is terrible, but they keep playing him. What was that? So they also, if you watch them post restart, Jadon Sancho didn't start in any of their important games. Literally. I tweeted this out a couple weeks ago. The only time he started a game against top flight opposition was they were in ninth place. He started against like 15, the teams he started against were like 15th in the table, 16th, bottom of the table teams. And he didn't start against Bayern, against Leipzig, against the sixth place team, against the sixth place team. He didn't start in the derby against Schalke. All the big games. And that's weird. It's, if they were in the title race, would it have been different? Yes, but like they were in the title race, but everybody knew it wasn't really a title race anymore. Like, Bayern were just going to run away with it. In which case, why would they not start him? Why would they turn to Gio Reyna in all those games to prepare for life without Sancho? Like, you do that so that Reyna gets that experience in these big games so that next year, when he has to play in them because you don't have Sancho, you're not throwing him into the deep end. He's already been there. So they've been preparing for life after Jadon Sancho since January. They're like, and they are a team that replaces from within. So I don't understand this. They're not going to sell because they won't have time to buy a replacement thing. Like, if that was the case, then no one would ever sell anybody at the end of the deadline at the end of the window, because then they wouldn't have time to buy a replacement. But yet, transfer deadline day is a huge deal, and so many deals go down on that day. So, like, that's just a nice little media narrative that allows you to publish some more articles and get clicks. Fans got to stop believing everything they read.
Yeah. Do you guys, this is maybe me just not knowing that much about economics, but the third financial quarter ends next Wednesday. Is there any way that this factors into Manchester United not wanting to spend 120 million euros right now?
I don't care. I mean, yeah, maybe, but I don't give a shit. That's not our problem.
So, all right, that's the thing. You don't care. I don't care. Colin doesn't care. None of the fans care. Yeah. The Glazers care. The Glazers care, and it's their team. That's the problem. They own it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the problem. And that, you could shout on the rooftops all you want. Glazers out, Glazers out. They don't care because we are sheep. We keep buying the jerseys. We keep buying the merchandise, all that stuff. They are going to run the club the way they want to run the club, which is an investment. They are only putting money into the club, which the club is generating itself. They have spent a ton of money on this club. Since Sir Alex Ferguson has retired, only City and PSG have higher, or I think PSG, but in England, only City have a higher net spend than United. They spend a higher percentage of revenue on transfers than any other club does. So, like, could they spend more? Yeah, if they put some of their own money into the club, they certainly can, but they're not doing that. But it's that's frustrating. But it is what it is. Because that's how they run their business. Liverpool run their business the same way. They've just been smarter with how they've spent their money. The problem with us is we've wasted so much money because we've spent it like drunk idiots. So the third quarter, does that matter? No, because everything is just about year end anyway. But not having all this uncertainty definitely matters. Not right. Having the cash flow. I mean, typically, where you get your money to spend on transfers is because people renew their season tickets. So when you come in the summer, you've got money to spend. You've got liquid cash because people have sent in their season ticket renewals. We don't have any of that. So not only did we lose match revenue last year, when we had to refund, I guess
like 130 million.
We refunded money. Yeah, it's about that. We refunded money at the end of the season, but we also didn't get that liquid cash coming in, which, you know, we then spend it, and then it's, you know, that's money you expect to make back over the season, which we don't know. All right, like, they had plans to bring fans back as early as like October. Those plans have been scrapped. So when are fans coming back? Is it going to be November? Is it going to be December? How many? You know, are we ever going to get a full Old Trafford? It's so hard to project your revenues that for a club that have so many financial issues, because they do.
Like, and the Glazers took money out. I think that's why a lot of people are mad, is that, like, no other owner takes money out, and the Glazers have taken money out, and it's like, what are you giving up?
That hasn't hamstrung them in any way, shape, or form. That money, yes, it could have been used to go into to renovate Old Trafford or expand Old Trafford, or, you know, it could have been used in positive ways, but the amount of money that's been put back in still exceeds other clubs. So, like, if you could forget about that money. You know, they want to take money out. That's their prerogative. They're the owners. They're still spending more on the club than everybody else. They're spending it like morons. And we have, and those mistakes come back to bite you, and they really screw you, and they are really screwing us now. Because the reason that we didn't spend in 2018-19 was because our revenue, our transfer spending, our expenses on transfers, wages, all the fees implied with that.
Wages, dude. Wages kill us. We love to put people on so much money.
Went up at such a faster rate than our revenues were rising. And our revenues have been rising at a very good rates. But all of a sudden, when Mourinho came in, and the year before that with Van Gaal, the spending went up at such a rate that it was unsustainable. And if United did anything else, aside from the fact that they are responsible to report to shareholders and everything, but if they kept spending that summer, they would have run into FFP hot water. So they signed Fred and Dalot, and what they actually did was they sneakily – they closed those deals in June, so they were able to sneakily put those deals on the previous fiscal year and basically let their books rest for that season and they were financially hamstrung. They couldn't do anything else because they were still paying for Di Maria at the time. They were still paying for Lukaku. They were still paying for Mkhitaryan. They were still paying for Martial. They were still paying for
David Moyes and Louis Van Gaal.
Yeah, they were still paying for all those guys that year. Not Moyes anymore, but Van Gaal, yes. Or not Van Gaal either at that point. Like this year, we're still paying for Bruno Fernandes. We're still paying for Paul Pogba. We're still paying for Romelu.
But not Alexis Sanchez, dude. Not Alexis Sanchez. Get those wages out.
We still paid him more.
Yeah, we still paid him for this year, though. I mean.
So people talk about, like, so that really hampers where like, what we can do financially, especially if you don't have money coming in. Because don't forget, our wage bill rises this year simply because we're back in the Champions League. And now everybody's back on their full salaries. They get less money when they don't qualify for the Champions League. So our wage bill was lower last year. It's back up this year. And people, so the notion that they need to sell Smalling in order to like bring in players is true. Like, because they, if they signed a new center back and then the Smalling deal collapses, now you're trapped with his wages. So they really need to clear that out. And there's the people that say, well, why don't they just buy the play? They could always just buy out a player. Well, if you have, let's say they have 10 million to spend and Phil Jones is on 4 million for 4 million a year for the next 3 years. If they want to buy him out, that's 12 million that they got to spend on it. So now they lose a player and they've just used up that whole 10 million.
That's why we need a director of football, dude. I know that's just like we've been saying it for years, but we need someone to specifically be in charge of player, but like just player wages in general, dude. Like we need to be like, nah, like that's not what we need to spend. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I like Dean Henderson and I'm glad that he came back. I'm a little worried about everything, but I mean, we paid that guy a lot of money, you know?
He had, the difference is Dean Henderson had leverage.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. And I'm not saying that like Dean Henderson shouldn't have gotten the money. Like he's good and he like deserves that money. I guess my point is that we like Phil Jones extension. Like I don't understand. Right. You know, like stuff like that I just don't understand at all.
Cut out the dumb contract extensions. You need to like there is no reason that Scott McTominay should have gotten a new contract this year. He signed one a year before. He had 5 years
left.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like And we always have these deals that extend for another year. Like and we do that, but like let it run down to the next year. Like make it, give that dude, put some fire under him. Like these guys, they get these deals and then they can just chill. They need to be worried about their spot. And that's another reason why we need depth, but that's besides the point. It's just like we just give them all this money and it's like they don't even have to work hard anymore. Like for our bench players.
I have no problem with Mason Greenwood and Brandon Williams getting new contracts because those were like their first.
Fair enough. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And those are standard. Like you broke it on the first team. Now you get a first team contract. It's still entry level. McTominay got that. Then he got a new contract last year. And now he's getting another new one. You don't need that. Like the Phil Jones and Marcos Rojo deals. You don't need them. Like United are getting burned by the same thing that burned Tottenham, like which we saw in All or Nothing, which was Daniel Levy saying to let Christian Eriksen leave for free at a club of our stature. Like, we can't do that. It's no, you have to understand that, like, certain players will dictate the market, like, but you know, United are relaxed about Paul Pogba right now because nobody's coming to get him. Nobody's going to pay for him. And they have to understand the resale market. Resale value doesn't really have a meaning anymore. The market has shifted to buying players that are 20 to 23 years old. Like, you're going to spend your big money now on Kai Havertz, who's 20. You're going to spend your big money on Jadon Sancho, who's 20. Teams are not going to come in and then spend $100 million on Sancho when he's 27, regardless of how good he is. He could turn into the next Ronaldo, but teams are not going to then spend, you know, the Eden Hazard and Griezmann deals were the last of their kind. Teams are not going to spend money on 27, 28-year-olds anymore because they're like, it's basically baseball free agency. We're paying you for what you did, not what you're going to do. So, like, to extend a player like Rojo or Jones because you don't want him to run out his contract and you want to be able to get a fee, nobody's going to pay fees for these guys anymore. Yeah. So, like, you need to just keep them, especially when you give them higher weight. Like, they can't move.
When's the last time Phil Jones played a game?
Burnley. No. January against Burnley.
Yeah, he played a total of like 120 minutes last season, and I think we conceded 3 goals in that time. Because he started the Sheffield United match and came off at halftime.
Yeah,
and
the last game he played was when we lost.
But yeah. Oh no, he played again. Was it Tranmere?
No. Oh, he did in the back three.
Yeah, because he scored. He scored off of a.
But those players, like, even if you tried to give them away for free, which
you know how hard we had to think about that? We shouldn't have had to think about it that hard. Like if you just got a new deal, like.
Deal was like when? 2 years ago? His deal was like when Ollie first got here.
Yeah, he was still interim manager at the time. I think we also extended Chris Smalling in that period.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But we can't even give these guys away for free anymore because. If you're Marcos Rojo on 80k a week, and Brighton come and say, well, we'll pay, like, we'll take him, we'll buy him, we'll take him off your hands, and United are like, great, now that'll clear 80k a week, but Brighton go, but we can only pay you 45k a week. You know, why is Rojo going to accept that? So he just says, nah, I'm good. You know, like, Phil Jones is getting paid a lot of money to basically not play football. So, like, why would you uproot your family? And your kids, especially in a time like this, to take less money. Especially if, like, if you don't, the only reason that you would do it is to play more and get back into the national team picture. But Phil Jones knows that's not going to happen. So is it better to play football or take care of your family? And, you know, is 45K for on a 3-year deal better than 80K on the remaining 3 years of your deal? No. So. You have this problem now because of past mistakes. So, like, yes, United need to hire a director of football so that they can cut these mistakes out. But even if they had one this year, like, he'd be operating under the same ball and chain.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think I'm going to wrap this up now for the sake of time.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But that was keep ranting.
That was a good rant on finances.
I did not realize that I had spoken for that long.
You be that way sometimes, bro.
It really do. All right. Well, that does it for us. We will be back probably next Sunday or Monday to recap Brighton and then preview Brighton again. And then we've got Tottenham coming up that Saturday after. So hopefully some transfer news coming in before that. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I've been Colin. All
right. I've been Matt.
I've been Paulie.
See you guys.